Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Tomorrow, oral arguments will occur at the Court of Appeals on a very significant case involving Liberty University. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, a case this all began with Jonathan Zinsky, who became an IT specialist at Liberty University, one of the largest Christian universities in the nation, right? And unbeknownst to them, he had already been taking female hormones. So after his 90-day probationary period, he announced, I'm going to be a female now, and I want to be addressed as Eleanor.
Yeah, so he's taking female hormones for 4 months. So he has a plan to take these hormones and to go through surgery and to change his name to Eleanor. And so that's pretty clear because that's 4 months in the process.
He knew ahead of time. It was a setup.
He knew ahead of time. Then he comes to Liberty University. He applies. He reads their doctrinal statement. And the doctrinal statement says very clearly that God created us in his image, male and female, that there are two sexes, and that to identify as anything other than the sex of your birth is a sin.
And he signed on the dotted line. He agreed
off on
with
that.
The mission and the doctrine.
Signs off on that, like he agrees with it. But he
yes.
knows he's lying.
Yes.
He had to know he's lying. He's taking hormones to actually, quote, transition, his words, to female and to identify as female. And he sees Liberty University's doctrinal statement that is completely the opposite. And he signs off as though he's in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that this case, obviously, just from that standpoint alone, was set up.
Mm-hmm.
He set up Liberty University intentionally, knowing what he was going to do. So then he works as an IT specialist, and his 90-day probation period expires. And guess what? He goes into HR, and he says, I've been taking female hormones. Now, by this time, 7 months. For 4 months before, and now at least 3 months during the 90-day probation.
At a Christian university that upholds God's creation of male and female.
Yeah, and he says, now I want to change my name to Eleanor, and I want to identify as a female, which also means he wants to dress as a female. And there's obviously more coming because there's going to be surgeries involved.
And he thinks that's okay.
And so he says, I just want to let you know.
By the way.
So, you know, what that means is that he wants Liberty University to pay for his female hormones through their health insurance. He wants Liberty University to pay for any kind of surgery with their health insurance, and Liberty University is self-insured. So this is money coming directly from Liberty to pay for something that they say by their doctrine, and he knows is a sin. So they ask about him, find out that this person, that's what he's wanting to do. And so they send a letter, and the letter is very specific, that you know, for example, to identify as anything other than male or female is a sin according to our doctrinal statement, and your consistent
right.
behavior actually undermines the mission of the university.
And, you know, sadly enough, I believe he attends a church which encourages what he's doing, encourages the whole gender confusion. So that's also very sad, too.
And Zinsky argues, you know what? My church is okay with this, so you should be okay with that as well. Well, you know, the issue is not what Zinsky's belief is. The issue is what Liberty's belief is. What is its doctrinal statement? And it's pretty clear. And I applaud Liberty University for having such a specific doctrinal statement. It's a model, frankly, that I think other universities and employers should also have as well. It's very clear about how God created us in his image, male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So Zinsky signs off on that. And then when he gets terminated, he file suit with the ACLU claiming that this is sex-based discrimination and that sex-based discrimination should override their religious freedom rights.
But this was all about the religious doctrine and mission. It wasn't anything about sex.
So Title VII, which is the federal employment law from 1964, has a section called 702 for employers, religious employers, and 703 for religious educational institutions. And from 1964 on, from the very beginning, 703 says that educational institutions, they have a right to hire employees of a particular religion, In 1972, Section 702, which is regarding employers, actually adopts 703's language, that employers also have a right to hire people of a particular religion. Now, what is a particular religion? In Title VII, religion is a wide variety. It's not just beliefs, it's actions and behaviors. So that the educational institution has a right to hire or terminate people that are not consistent with their religious beliefs regarding their beliefs, actions, and behaviors. And so Zinsky comes in, and this is not going to be something that he's just harboring in his mind where he disagrees with liberty's doctrinal statement. And, you know, he might complain to somebody periodically about how he doesn't agree with their doctrinal statement. Every day Zinsky comes to work, if he were allowed to continue, he would be openly defying Liberty University's doctrine. He would be essentially writing on his person that he disagrees with Liberty's doctrine that God created us in his image, male and female, and that it's a sin to identify as anything other than how God created you at birth. It's essentially Zinsky bringing to work every day a protest sign and having it on his person as he is working with co-workers, students, faculty, and staff. And he's every day walking around openly, defiantly opposing Liberty University's doctrine because he wants everybody to call him a female name, Eleanor. And everybody knows his name is Jonathan. Now they're going to call him Eleanor. He wants to be able to dress as a woman. He wants Liberty to pay for his female hormones. He wants Liberty to pay for his other surgeries down the road. He's wanting Liberty to be forced to violate its own doctrinal statement. Now, credibly, the lower court judge said that our reading of the federal law was the most consistent and obvious reading. In other words, that once Liberty makes a decision based upon its religious belief and doctrine, in this case, they terminate Zinsky because he openly violates, by his behavior and consistent actions, their doctrinal statement. That Liberty's interpretation that once that happens, all of Title VII drops out and Liberty is free to act accordingly.
But we lost at that lower court, right? So hence now we're at the appeals court.
Yeah, he says it's the most obvious reading of the text, but then he says, but you know what? I can't accept that because then it would mean that Zinsky has no right.
Wow.
Well, that's right. You know, that's what Title VII says.
Yeah.
And then the other crazy thing, Holly, he said, well, what's the harm to Liberty? What's the harm to Liberty?
A Christian university.
To continue to employ Zinsky. What's the harm to Liberty? And guess what he says? The worst thing that could happen to Liberty is people would think that Liberty is a hypocrite because their doctrinal statement says one thing and they allow an employee to do exactly the opposite.
Well,
so what's the big deal? What's the big deal, he says? Well, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because universities, they not only speak, in this case, Liberty trains champions for Christ, the youth.
They would lose a lot of students.
They not only speak in their curriculum and in the classroom, but their employees embody their mission. So imagine Liberty having a doctrinal statement and expecting the students to abide by it. But then all the teachers are trans.
Oh, dear.
Now, how crazy is that? So is Liberty a hypocrite? Yeah, they would be a hypocrite. Well,
they'd have to close up shop.
Then their doctrinal statement really is meaningless, right?
Right.
So Liberty would have to close up shop.
And this whole case, I think, really sets a precedent for other Christian organizations, schools, churches. I mean, we have to deal with this now before it becomes widespread.
So this case is being watched by a lot of people. We've had a lot of amicus briefs filed in our favor. We've had 19 states and the District of Columbia, blue states, file against us. They're afraid that if we win, their LGBTQ agenda will be thwarted. Well, that's true, because religious freedom under Title VII is protected. So pray for this case. I actually argue this case tomorrow at the Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. The implications of the case are far-reaching, and obviously this case has a high potential to go to the United States Supreme Court and affect the entire nation. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/LU.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.